Hello, my name's Max Telford, and I'm the Jodrell Professor of Zoology and Comparative Anatomy at University College London, and the author of the book The Tree of Life, Solving Science's Greatest Puzzle. The book describes the giant and ancient family tree that tells us how all of life is related. As I will share with you here, the Tree of Life is the key to travelling back in time to understand where we came from and how we came to be human. I'd like to share with you five key insights from my book. Insight number one, there is one tree of life, by which I mean there is a single family tree of life that relates every member of every species alive on Earth today. However alien some species seem, we really are related to all of them. It's easy enough to see that we're related to the creatures that look most like us, chimpanzees for example. The incredible similarity is what shows us we're closely related. How better to explain it than common ancestry? Our many, many shared characteristics also tell us that we and chimpanzees share a common ancestor that lived relatively recently, about 10 million years ago. We also share quite a lot with all the other primates, although not quite as much as we do with chimps. The common ancestor that links us to monkeys lived further back in time, perhaps 30 million years ago. We can keep on tracing our ancestry further and further back in time to meet older and older ancestors that link us to increasingly different species. Eventually, when we reach back about 550 million years into the past, we meet the ancient ancestor that links us to every one of the other animals, from jellyfish and corals to butterflies and snails. We're very different from jellyfish, of course, but humans and jellyfish still share some fundamental things. We both have bodies made from many tiny cells. We both have muscles and nerves and a gut, for example. It's still possible to imagine we have a common origin way back in time. 2 billion years back in time, we're related to fungi, green plants, and a whole host of tiny single-cell creatures. We can still find things we share with these aliens. Most notably, we all have cells with chromosomes in the nucleus. The final long leg of our journey to find our roots takes us 4 billion years into the past, where we meet the ancestor that we share with all of life on Earth. Everything that is, from humans to the tiny bacteria that live in our guts. At first glance, it's hard to see what we could possibly have in common with a bacterium. But there are many parts of being alive, complicated things like the DNA double helix, the way our cells divide, how our cells make energy to keep ourselves alive, that are essentially identical in every living thing. These shared aspects of being alive have proved to be so intricate and unexpected that it's impossible to imagine that they have been invented twice. And here's the big idea. If these complex aspects of being alive have a single origin, then everything alive today that has these features must have inherited them from the same ancient source. These shared basic features of all life, in other words, are the irrefutable evidence that tells us that there was just one origin of life. Insight number two. The Tree of Life describes two important things, the birth of new species and the evolution of new forms. The shape of the Tree of Life, with its trunk, huge lower boughs, followed by smaller and smaller branches and twigs, describes two different parts of evolution. First, it shows us how different species are related to one another. The lowest split on the tree represents the ancient event where the ancestor of all life, a single species, divided in two to make two separate species. The two large groups of species that trace their ancestries back to these first two branches are the most distantly related of all. As time passed, each of these two oldest branches went on to split again and again to form more and more species. And each moment where one species divided to make two are shown on the tree by a split and the appearance of new branches. The second thing we can read on the tree is the way species change. As soon as two species have separated, they are free to evolve in their own separate directions, thanks to the process of natural selection. This change is represented by the upward growth of the branches. The more a species have changed, the longer its branch. As our distant ancestors change by evolving new characteristics, a backbone or limbs or a clever brain, each new invention has been handed on to their descendants generation after generation. The rather helpful outcome of this process is that each branch can be recognised by the inventions that the ancestor passed on to its descendants. The first vertebrate passed on its new backbone to all its descendants. And now we can use this feature to recognise all the species that belong to the vertebrate branch. We can recognise mammals by their fur and milk, and plants by their green leaves, and so on, right across the tree of life. Insight number 3. Sometimes evolution fools us. The inventions that allow us to recognise which species are related to one another are the raw material we use to work out the shape of the tree of life. We've gathered masses of useful information over the past couple of centuries. Anything from the shapes and colours of different species, details of their physiology, and, for animals at least, the minutiae of how they develop from a fertilised egg into a fully formed adult. Most important of all, for the last 50 or so years, we've invented ways to use similarities and differences in genes to work out relationships. With all these data to hand, it might seem a little odd that we're still struggling to work out the true shape of the tree of life. The explanation for our difficulty is a part of biology called convergent evolution. This is simply different branches of the tree of life coming up with the same solution when faced with the same evolutionary challenge. There are countless examples of convergent evolution, but my favourite example comes from the swallows and swifts. I'm not an expert on birds. Until very recently, I assumed the very similar-looking swallows and swifts were close relatives. They live very similar lives. Their fast, acrobatic flight is almost constant as they catch insects on the wing. They're beautifully designed for this, with light, streamlined bodies, slender, backward-curving wings, and a wide, gaping beak. But it's become clear they are not really closely related. In fact, details of their skeletons and comparisons of their DNA have shown that swifts are in fact more closely related to hummingbirds than to swallows, and swallows are closer to owls than they are to swifts. My mistake was caused by convergent evolution. From very different starting points, both swallows and swifts started to feed on flying insects, and one excellent way to catch this elusive and tiny prey was to evolve a light, slender, manoeuvrable body, wings backswept like a flight fighter jet for fast flight, and a big mouth to maximise the catch. Both swifts and swallows have stumbled on what is essentially the same solution to the problem of catching insects on the wing. It is this convergent evolution that made them look so similar and that fooled me over their places on the bird tree of life. Convergent evolution turns out to be very common and is one of the biggest challenges we face when working out the family tree of life. Insight number 4. The tree of life is very big and very old. A family tree is a great way to picture the evolution of life's dazzling diversity, but in some ways, it's utterly inadequate. A real mature oak tree, standing 40 metres tall, can be covered in as many as a million leaves. But to picture an oak tree big enough to carry a leaf for all the species alive today, which one recent estimate puts as high as a trillion species, we would have to imagine standing in the shade of an oak towering 40 kilometres above us, halfway to space. The age of life on Earth is similarly hard to picture. The very oldest part of the human historical record goes back about 6,000 years, before the pyramids, before Stonehenge, to the first use of writing. But the ancestor we share with chimpanzees, our very closest relatives, lived 10 million years ago. To meet this very closest of our many ancestors, we need to travel back in time roughly 2,000 times further than the whole span of human history. If we want to have a hope of picturing the time frame of evolution, we need to put it in another context. I like to use the familiar proportions of the human body, where the 4.5 billion years of Earth's existence are represented by the height of a human. The moment of the first formation of the Earth lies at the feet, and the events of today are found at the very crown of the head. On this human timescale, the first appearance of life would be found at the level of the shin. The first animals don't appear until we reach the bottom of the chin. The first animal with four legs, the ancestor of all amphibians, reptiles, birds and mammals, is found at the tip of the nose, and the first primates don't appear until high in the hairline. This human timescale shows that most of the history of life on Earth contained no animals at all, not so much as a humble jellyfish. Humans only feature in the very last few frames of the movie. Insight number 5. The tree of life is a time machine. Arguably, the most valuable thing that comes from knowing the relationships between all species of life on Earth is the ability to travel back in time to meet our ancestors. The idea is rather simple and relies on the fact that each of the many different characteristics each species possesses must have been inherited from an ancestor somewhere lower down on the tree. To travel back in time to discover when each character first appeared, we simply need to ask which other species we share it with. We could pick any species to think about, but let's take humans. We have seen how some of the most basic bits of human biology, the DNA in our cells, for example, are found right across the tree of life, from humans to bacteria to plants. DNA is a feature of all life today, and this tells us that DNA must also have existed in the very first organism alive on Earth. This is the ancestor that all of life on Earth inherited its DNA from. Amazingly, this way of thinking has just allowed us to travel 4 billion years into the past, to know something about a tiny species we will never be able to see in the flesh. Other parts of what add up to make us a human are restricted to smaller groups of organisms. The backbone is found in all the vertebrates, but not in insects or mollusks. This tells us that a backbone was an invention of the vertebrate ancestor, a creature that lived about 500 million years ago. Fur and milk are found in all the mammals, but not in reptiles or birds. This tells us that fur and milk first appeared 100 million years ago in the ancestor of mammals. We've been able to do this time travel by knowing just two things. First, what characters different species have, and second, how these species are related. This amazing trick can be used to reconstruct the characteristics of any ancestor. It's the secret we can use to follow our own evolutionary story from humble beginnings at the bottom of an ocean to an ape who can wonder about his origins. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.